And from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Juneau Assembly approved a list of tourism industry policy objectives last night. They outlined the city's goals for negotiating with cruise ship companies. The city's Visitor Industry Task Force met for several months right before the pandemic and issued a list of recommendations. Those recommendations inspired the five policy objectives approved last night. The objectives are to limit cruise ships to five per day in the downtown port, complete construction of the Seawalk, increase the city's input in scheduling, electrify cruise ship docks, and develop goals for emissions and congestion mitigation. Juneau resident Steve Kroll told the Assembly that the five-ship cruise limit isn't enough.
We've got too many people in too small an area. The downtown hasn't gotten any bigger. The sidewalks aren't bigger. The roads aren't bigger. We're at the point where capacity really is the issue.
Assemblymember Maria Gladyszewski says they received several emails asking for a 3 or 4 ship limit. She said the city would likely face legal opposition if it tried to enforce such a cap.
We could try. We would be in litigation immediately. It would take years, would cost a lot of money.
In fact, it's unclear at this point if the city would have any way to cap the number of cruise ships in town at all. Mayor Beth Weldon said negotiating with the tourism industry represents a new strategy for the city. Just a few years ago, it ended a contentious 3-year lawsuit from the cruise industry over marine passenger fees.
Some people will say it's not a big enough step. I would say at least a step.
Also last night, the Assembly voted against appropriating $300,000 for cruise ship dock planning at the downtown subport. Norwegian Cruise Line donated the land to Hunatotum Corporation, which hopes to build a visitor center and a cruise ship dock there by 2025. And there are about a dozen Chilkat weavers in Juneau this week. They're working 5 or more hours a day, trying to finish up intricate child-sized robes that'll be worn by local children while they dance a ceremonial dance. The weavers are apprentices of local weaver Lily Hope. During the pandemic, she offered classes virtually.
If you say Chilkat robe, raise your hand.
What if you say both? Should we raise our hands?
But now, they're together in person. The children's robes they're working on are detailed and time-consuming. But it takes 2 years or more to make an adult-sized one. So the smaller ones are both a practical consideration and also really special. They'll be worn by local children at the end of this workshop. There are about a dozen weavers in the room laughing and joking with each other while their hands are tangled up in yellow, blue, black, and white yarn, the traditional colors of Chilkat weaving. The robes they're working on are at different stages, but most are nearly done. Sakoon Dunedin Jackson is here from Alberta, Canada. She started her robe from home by watching Lily Hope's videos. She spun the yarn and hung it on the loom and began weaving. But on a road trip last summer, she got in an accident, and the blanket, as well as everything in her camper van, burned in the wreck.
The only reason I was able to participate at all is because it's Jody's daughter. She gifted me her auntie's yarns, who had passed. So it is absolutely a project of love and support of this entire community.
She was able to restart the robe and thinks she'll finish in time for the first dance.
It's not like joining a crochet group, right? Yeah. It's more. There's culture and there's the spiritual aspect of it. I think it makes it, it's what changes it from art to a living being.
The design for her robe is from Hope's late mother, Clarissa Rizal. It was the last child-sized robe she designed. It doesn't have clan affiliations. She wanted to use a design that was, quote, open source, so that children with any clan affiliation could dance in them. Ganesha Karen Tog started weaving in 1984, but she put it on hold after having 5 children. The robe she's working on is her first big weaving piece, and she's glad to be in good company for it.
You get stuck like on a circle. You know, there's so many people to ask. You know, plus Lily does the videos, but still it's nice to interact with all the other ladies because you learn little tricks of the trade.
She plans to have her grandson dance in the robe, which shows the face of a fisherman and his 2 grandchildren in profile, turned towards him in the center. Growing the number of Chilkat weavers is important, Hope said in an earlier interview.
Over the last 120 years, fewer than a dozen Chilkat blanket makers or robe weavers existed at any given point. We are changing that story this week.
all these weavers send a message about the status of Chilkat weaving today.
My goal really is to let the world know that we're still making Chilkat robes, we're still weaving our history, we're still telling our stories. Yeah, we're still here alive and well.
The robes will be on display at the Juneau Douglas City Museum until the end of February. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. The first dance for these robes is Wednesday. The Alaska Heritage Institute will provide a live stream of the dance on YouTube. On Friday, the robes will be displayed at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. And Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy says he's going to pursue legal action against the Environmental Protection Agency's veto of the Pebble Mine. On Talk of Alaska today, he called the EPA's final determination a political decision.
It's on state land. We traded land for this particular mineral find. The whole premise of Alaska as a going concern, as an entity, as a sovereign, is that we were to develop our resources. That's the irony of this whole thing.
The EPA has vetoed mining at the Pebble Deposit in southwest Alaska. It exercised a rarely used power under the Clean Water Act to ban and restrict the discharge of mining materials in waters around the site. It says doing so will, quote, help protect the most productive wild salmon ecosystem in the world. Some Bristol Bay tribes started petitioning the EPA to use that veto authority in 2010, and the process has flip-flopped between the three presidential administrations since. Dunleavy has been one of the most vocal opponents of the EPA's actions at Pebble Deposit. Opponents of the mine are celebrating the decision, and Dunleavy says he understands that some don't like the Pebble project.
But as governor, my job is to make sure that we take advantage of every opportunity. I believe we have the best environmental standards in the world, and I think it's a sad day for Alaska and for the country.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denied Pebble a federal permit in 2020, but the company appealed that decision. EPA officials say a new news conference on Monday that the ban is specific to the Pebble deposit and does not apply to any other projects in the state. But Dunleavy called the EPA's action a, quote, dangerous precedent. He also said it was one in a series of projects that could have provided jobs in Alaska, but were struck down.
The irony of a lot of these projects that are trying to be shut down is that they're located in some of the poorest areas of our state. Now, what's the answer for some of those folks that want to develop their resources, whether it's Kakanak, whether it's out of Pedro Bay, Iliamna? What's the alternative for them? A check from the government?
Opponents of the mine say it would threaten the region's ecosystem, as well as Alaska Native cultures that rely on traditional subsistence resources, like salmon. Alaska's congressional delegation had mixed responses to the announcement. Senator Dan Sullivan said that while he opposed Pebble, the EPA's actions could set a precedent for development on state lands. Senator Lisa Murkowski reiterated her position to the mine, but said she supports mining in the state and that the Biden administration has a responsibility to support other projects. Meanwhile, Representative Mary Peltola supports the EPA's use of this veto authority at the site. And Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy repeated his goal to make Alaska the most pro-life state in the country on Talk of Alaska today. But he says he's not directly going after abortion rights. Instead, he's focused on making Alaska a place where people want to live.
With less students comes less money. It's the way our formula is constructed. So one of the things that we want to do, as mentioned, again, in the pro-life strand of my state, is we want to get more people here, more kids here. If we do that, we fill our schools up, and we end up with a larger population that will bring money with it.
Dunleavy is beginning his second and final term, and his vision for the state this time around is one of resiliency and self-sufficiency.
You're pro-life if you make Alaska a more inviting place for people to come and want to have families, whether that's better schools, whether that's cheaper housing, cheaper fuel.
In a period of historic inflation and oil market volatility, Alaska is facing many expensive challenges, including out-migration and the rising cost of groceries. When it comes to schools, Dunleavy says he agrees with lawmakers' calls for increased education funding, but he thinks student learning outcomes should be a part of the funding discussion. The governor also says making Alaska a more attractive place to live is central to ensuring enough money for schools. Part of the governor's vision for a more inviting Alaska is one that has more food and energy self-sufficiency and less at the whims of global supply chain blockages like those seen during the last few years due to the pandemic.
How can we grow things out, for example, near Dillingham? There's actually a farm in Bethel that produces vegetables and other crops for local consumption. And I think going local and helping folks create local economies, local food, local electrical generation is really something that we're going to look at.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 33 degrees and foggy. This afternoon, there's a 50% chance of rain, and the low tonight is 30 degrees. Tomorrow, the high is 30 with more snow on the way. You're listening to KTOO.